Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norm. I hope you get this message. I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, my parents took me to a local farm. It was the first week of October. We went to the farm to purchase the pumpkin we would display on our front porch on Halloween night. Norm, there were hundreds, perhaps even thousands of pumpkins for sale at the farm. My mom and dad and I were drinking hot chocolate while we were at the pumpkin farm when my mother saw the sign. Painted onto the sign were the words, "Sit on the pumpkin, take a picture." It was a photo op. My parents went for it straight away. At that time, I wore only hot pants and halter tops. I had huge chest cucumbers, narrow hips, and creamy pale thighs to die for. I was a natural redhead. All of my skin was very pale, almost white even. My body looked like someone had dipped me into a vat of bleached white flour. A week earlier, my mother bought me a set of used high heels from the Salvation Army. There was a piece of masking tape on the bottom of one of the shoes. The word "Cher Bono" was written onto the masking tape. The clerk standing at the counter told my mother that the shoes once belonged to Cher Bono.
Cher walked into the store with Sunny. She wanted to buy an old jewelry box that someone used to store their old roach clips in. There were dozens of half-smoked joints in the box. I think they're called roaches. She said the jewelry box was hers and explained how it had been stolen from her dressing room while she was on the set for the Sunny and Cher TV show. Cher didn't have any cash, so she traded her shoes for the jewelry box filled with the roaches and old roach clips. At least this is the story that I was told.
I was wearing the shoes while we searched for the perfect pumpkin. Norm, per my parents' request, I sat atop the pumpkin. A woman that worked for the farm spoke into a battery-powered megaphone while I sat atop the pumpkin. She told everyone within earshot that the pumpkin I was sitting on won a third-place prize for its size in the Miracle-Gro annual pumpkin weigh-off competition. Miracle-Gro is a plant fertilizer company. Norm, when I sat on the pumpkin, I heard a vacuum-sucking sound. Something was clutching onto each of my ass cheeks. While I sat there waiting for my father to take the perfect photograph, I felt a sudden sharp jab to my genitals. And then I felt it again. Something hard slammed into my delicious tight beaver. I tried to stand up, but I couldn't. I was trapped. It was like my juicy rear end had been super glued to the pumpkin. Before I could do or say anything, a rock-hard 14-inch long rubber dildo rose out of the pumpkin and bore its way past the crotches of my hot pants and panties. The enormous rubber beaver butt went deep into my luxe fuckhole. Norm, I was getting dicked. But how? Why? The gigantic pumpkin schlong drilled its way in and out of my hungry wet cunt hundreds of times. As I moaned, I came. And as I came, I moaned. Everyone at the pumpkin farm watched as saliva dripped from the sides of my open trembling mouth. My eyes were rolled back like a shark eating a trigger fish. While my gash got impaled, my intense hip movement caused my halter top, hot pants and panties to disintegrate. I was naked, sweating, coming, and massaging my erect nipples as I rocked my greedy young hips. And then I blacked out. When I regained consciousness, a police officer told me that someone had installed a powerful radio-controlled dildo machine inside the pumpkin.
There was a dick machine inside the pumpkin. Hoses connected to vacuum cleaners attached themselves onto your bottom and held you onto that pumpkin while your pussy got trenched. When I was a kid, my neighbor said he'd pay me to paint his doghouse. While I was on all fours painting the dog's name onto the front of his doghouse, the neighbor raped me and threw my body into the doghouse, and he nailed a board over the entrance of the doghouse. That was a bad scene.
When the authorities examined the inside of the pumpkin, they found gears, cameras, circuits, a hydraulic piston, and a very wide and very long Chinese-made dildo. The cops also found several hoses that were attached to industrial vacuum cleaners. The hoses attached themselves to each half of my ass, making it impossible for me to stand up. The suction held me to the pumpkin while I was force-fed the rubber third leg. Additionally, someone had installed a small cereal bowl inside the pumpkin that was designed to capture my hot vaginal juices as they dripped out of my box while I took the stump. It was an awful moment. I walked bowl-legged for 6 weeks after the pumpkin crammed my pussy. When my mother picked me up at the hospital, she said,
Your dad and I wanted a nice photograph of our daughter sitting on a pumpkin. But no, you couldn't do that. You had to fuck that pumpkin in front of dozens of people. Your face was twisted and contorted as you came. You're a slut. While the pumpkin's big dick went in and out of your pussy, your vaginal farts slid past the pumpkin's huge schlong and they went into the pumpkin, and they got creepily amplified and echoey. A couple of people fainted. The owner of the farm says your violently jerking hip movements cracked the pumpkin. He wants to be compensated and he's threatening to sue us. When you get home, go down to the basement and find the box that contains your grandmother's things. In that box, locate your grandmother's old rubber douchebag. Fill the rubber squeeze bulb with vinegar and flush your cunt out. When you're done, go to bed. You're grounded.
Norm, I was especially hurt when I found out that my black half-sister sold a video of me as I got fucked by the prize-winning pumpkin on eBay for $2,500. I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, be careful if ever you have the urge to sit atop a pumpkin for a photo opportunity. You could take a monstrous cunt cracker. I did. Now I must get going. Norm, I call all the time, but you never call me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to smoke some shit while I massage my clitoris using the pointer finger and middle finger of my right hand. I'll be doing this while I lie atop my deceased grandmother's old cum-stained spring mattress. Oh. 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 Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
So I'm working on my ice fishing shanty in the yard when I get a call. I didn't answer the call yet. We're going to get to that. And why am I working in the ice fishing shanty? Now, I knew I got a call because there's a bell mounted to the house. It's an exterior bell. I still got a phone. It's not on the wall, but I still have a wired phone to the phone company. And it'll ring a bell on the outside of the house because I live on 100 acres in the middle of nowhere, way up in upper northern Michigan. So I got this bell. It'll tell me if the phone's ringing. And when the bell goes off, I know the phone is ringing. I know I'm getting a phone call. That's how it works. You get the phone call, you're the ringing bell, and you go in and you answer the phone. I don't have a cell phone out there. I still answer the home phone. And I'm working on my ice fishing shanty. Now, what would I be doing on my ice fishing shanty? Well, we're going to September. And winter's coming, and I want to have my ice fishing shanty ready to go. I've been ice fishing since I was 15 years old. It's the greatest thing, the most relaxing thing you've ever seen. But for me, it's so much more. Part of it is because I'm attractive and you're not. I mean, as I always say, chicks think I'm sexy. They want to blow me. They want to hump me. They don't want to blow you. They don't think you're sexy. They want nothing to do with you. Why is that? Because you got a head like a basketball and bad case of horseshoe baldness. It looks like a donkey kicks you in the head. They don't want to do with that. They don't want anything to do with it. They want to do things with me. Like I say also, I am the recipe of what people want to be in America. That's true. I'm all of it. If you saw me, if you met up with me, you'd think, wow, I'm not a homo. I'm not a fruit. But if I was a chick, I'd like to blow Norm. I'd like to hump him. That's what you'd say. That's how attractive I am. Tall, 173 pounds, 6'2", beautiful fucking goddamn blazingly bright green eyes. Chicks dig that shit. And then when they hear my word power, they especially want me. They don't want somebody like you. Big deformed lips, all out of shape and shit. You can't control them properly. Your voice is all over the place. You can't really say a complete sentence. They don't want that shit. So they want me. And what does this have to do with the ice fishing shanty? You see, when I'm in the ice fishing shanty, which I drag out into the ice every year, with this woman I know, she's got an International Harvester tractor. It's ancient. I don't know what it is. 1940s, something like that. In perfect condition. Absolutely love tractors. I think they're this beautiful, long-lasting, powerful piece of machinery that almost never breaks. You can find one in a fucking farm field or some vacant field or something like that. It could be 70 years old and hasn't started in 60 of those years, and you can still start it up where it sits. You might need a charge, you might check the oil, but it'll still start. It's amazing. That's how well built they are, or were. So I'm in the ice fishing shanty. I'm working on it. I hear the bell ringing in the house. That tells me to come to the house to answer the phone, and I'm working on the ventilation. What am I doing on the ventilation? Well, I'm trying to improve it. So why am I trying to improve it? Here's why. Every year you got to put your name on the side of your ice fishing shanty. I have to put on, it's by law, Norm Augustinus. You have to put your address on it and your phone number too. That's a requirement by the DNR, by the game wardens up here, the DNR. All that stuff, Michigan itself, state itself, so they can see who's in the shanty, so they can ID who owns it, so why it's there, they can track it and all that. Then you got these stickers you got to put in the shanty every year that says you paid a fee to be out there. Well, I'm working in a ventilation because chicks see that name. Chicks know I ice fish this lake in particular. It's behind my house. They know that, and they come up here hoping to get some dick. Because that's what chicks want, fuck stick. They want dick. They want dick from morning till night. They want dick coming to their fucking house or coming to their car or coming to the place of work. They want dick coming to them in truckloads. They want dick coming to them in cargo plane filled with fucking dick. They want trains coming in, 100 cars in a row attached to the fucking main one up there, the fucking engine. They want car after car filled with goddamn dick, and it's coming their way. They want military men parachuting out of the skies, so dense, so thick you can't see nothing. It's like we're having an eclipse, and it's just flying dicks coming down at them. That's what chicks want. Don't ever fall for the other bullshit, man. All chicks want is a bag of money in a brown paper bag that can't be tracked, and they want dick. They want that all the time, every day, until they die, and that's what they want, and that's what they'll hope to get from you. So why do I do this with the ice fishing shanty? Well, when the chick drags it out there, I want to be able to get the smell of pussy, the stench of pussy, which I'm slightly allergic to, and I talk to other people the same thing. Please don't be offended. I've talked to other men. They've told me the same damn thing. I can't be overwhelmed by the stench of pussy when I'm inside a tiny ice fishing shanty. Mine is 10 by 11.5, 10 by 11.5 inches. And I can't be overcome by the stench of pussy while I'm inside my shanty fucking. And that's what I do. They come there, they knock on the door, they find some bullshit reason. Are you Norm? Yeah, I said I'm Norm. How are you? They see me, they know I got a big dick, 15.5 pounds of meat, and they think, I want that packed in my fuckhole. I want in there deep, I want in there fully bored out, fully widened out. I want my fucking cunt completely bottomed out. The walls of it, the sugar walls, I want that bottomed out. The depth of it, I want that bottomed out. I want to get with Norm Augustinus, and I can offer us all the fucking time. People think I'm bullshitting, but it's not. It's not a lie, not in any way, or fabrication. I know that phrase they say. I bring it up all the time. Those who talk about it don't get it. Those who don't talk about it, why can't I ever get this? Those who don't talk about it get it all the time. Those who talk about it don't get it. I get it all the time, and I talk about it because I have to help people. What is life about but fellowship, helping your common man? And I'm helping my common man. I'm passing shit on that I've learned from a fucking very jam-packed life that I've had, and I'm helping people passing this shit on. It's a stench inside the shanty I can't stand. When I'm in there fucking, when I look to the right, and there's a minnow bucket, and it's a metal bucket, and it's filled with minnows, and they're moving around. When I look to the white and I see all left to the left, I see a fucking big container of wax worms. When I see all my fucking black and white photographs, 8x10s, of chicks nude, 60s porn, I look around, I see that, and I think, fucking A, man. When I look on top of my miniature fridge and I see all my goddamn weed there, all kinds of shit, my smack, my coke, my fucking weed, my uppers, my downers, my quaaludes, I think, you've got it fucking made, man. My spoons, my grinders, you've got it made. And then there's a chick on me riding my fucking, my 15.5 pounds of dick. I think, you've got it made. But there's one problem, and what is it? As I start coughing, the stench of some chick's pussy. I don't understand it. They look so good. They look so good. They got their perfume on, their Emerald on, their Clive Christensen number one on. They're wearing their red bottom shoes as they come into my shanty Louis Vuitton. And they come in, and once I start playing around that fuckhole and you start to smell that odor, you can't function no more, man. You just can't function anymore. I'm not shitting you. I'm getting emotional over this because it's so goddamn bad, man. I was in Vietnam, a door gunner. I took up 500, 600, 700 fucking VC a day with a goddamn M1, this fucking Gatling gun that I had, and a Huey Bell helicopter. I was a door gunner, was attached to the door, it hung from it at that time. And I fucking took out 400, 500 people a day, man. We'd go down, we'd recon the whole area. The stench was bad, but nothing like a goddamn chick's pussy, man. I'm not shitting you. When they used to drop me in the VC rice paddies, they would do that. I fucking had a name. I told you it was Guanachi, and Guanachi is the big dick one, and I fell from the fucking sky out of a fucking Bell Huey helicopter, a Bell Juan helicopter. I'd fall into the rice paddies, and I'd come at him with my big goddamn dick, and you know what? Even the VC chicks, as they were running and farting in the water of the fucking rice paddy, they were above their waist. They were blowing pussy farts like crazy. It never smelled like an American pussy, man. This is bad. It's a warning. It's a warning saying this. Okay, you got pussy. You got pussy. Be careful. You got some pussy here. Be careful. That stench is there, but it also can be bad. The after stink, like a roadkill smell, it's going to be like you trapped in a fucking big bear trap, man, later on after that fucking stink's gone. That odor, that fucking, the drama of everything, the prices, the bills, the costs that you're going to have with this, that's the stink warning you. Well, I know all about the stink, but you might be some fuck up. And I had plenty of friends like this who said, wow, man, I get into pussy. I don't care what it smells like. That's part of it. I just put my face near, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I like it. I breathe it in. I actually take my hands. That's not me. That shouldn't be you either. You're fucking mental if that's you. That shouldn't be you. So I've got my shanty and I'm working on it. And my idea is to ventilate, draw out the pussy stench by sucking the air in with floor vents. And the floor vents will then take the air out of my shanty and pump it just under the ice. Now, there's always air pockets under the ice when you're ice fishing. There's air pockets under there. Miles of them. There's oftentimes the water is below the frozen sheet of ice, the 6 inches above the ice. There's a whole complete opening there, and you can pump that fish odor, that stink odor from her pussy all around the goddamn lake. And it's not in your shanty anymore. And you say, well, that's great, Norm. You don't smell pussy anymore. What's the problem? Well, here's how it works. What really goes on when you do that is the stench of pussy draws other bitches in. They're out there in the ice. They're in their fucking tent, their junky ass thing, trying to find dick. They're looking to be a team player. Look at me. I've got an ice fishing shanty made of a tent. It's a pop-up tent. I'm out here and I'm a sport, man. I'm out here trying to find a man and stuff. No one knows that. I'll pretend I'm ice fishing. What it draws in, the minute a woman smells pussy, cause she knows it well, she knows some chick's in heat, man. Some chick's in heat and she can fucking lift off that ice, lift off that ground like something in India, like a magic carpet flying her whole body, and she'll zero in where that pussy is and it'll draw more pussy into your correspondent, Norm Augustinus. There's a side effect of it, but I also have vacated, vamoosed the stench of pussy from my ice fishing shanty, and it's incredible, man. I'm working on this now. To get rid of it. First, it goes through a charcoal filter in my area because I'm there. I have to breathe fresh air. I can't keep my dick up. If all my blood, all the bubbles in my blood are filled with the stench of pussy, I can't keep that up. You want pure oxygen or nearly pure oxygen, a mix of nitrogen and oxygen. You want that in your bloodstream, but the right mix so you can keep the maximum hardness and bang her the fuck out like I do. And they're banging away. That also draws in the ice. I mean, the fish, because they hear that banging sound, they want to come check it out. Much like a shark is always patrolling, listening for sounds. So I'm in my ice fishing shanty. And I'm working on my ventilation system, and I got all these things running in my mind. I always keep notes with me, and I also keep a little tiny digital recorder with me so I can take these notes and I can talk about what I have to do. Like I would say, work on ventilation and then shut it off. Or I'd say, weather station not functioning, repair. Or I would say, don't like the porn picture on the right. It's wet now. It's kind of expanded. I can't see your pussy really well. The thing I like about old 60s vintage porn pictures and shit, 8x10s, and I got some signed, some autographed, is that they often have very hairy fucking pubic mounds. And I like that shit. As I told you before, a pubic mound, the number one point of a pubic mound on a bitch is it's an air filter. It's there to filter the air so you don't die from the stench of her pussy and you can keep on fucking. But once you get in, draw it up, you get pulled into the stench of her pussy, it's all over. I never understood people like fucking beavers that were shaved and all that. And I just start laughing. I walk away. I start laughing, man. I got some fucking blotter acid, put it on my tongue. I go for a quick fucking trip and I think, man, they're stupid, but I'm okay. I'm feeling good, man. I walk away. So I'm in the shanty working on this, all these ideas, all these thoughts, taking notes, writing notes in paper, taking notes with a fucking electronic recorder, the digital recorder. And while I'm doing this, while I'm imagining all this pussy I've yet to conquer this year, and you know, you can say this, people that want to fuck all the time, people that get pussy all the time, always licking tits, always cramming their cock up their ass, 69ing them and shit like that, eating them out, rimming them, giving them rim jobs. You could say, you know, people that do that a lot, they're not right in the head. They're lacking something. They weren't raised right. They've got some kind of thing out of whack in their brain. But it's not true. Like I told a chick when I was in college once who wouldn't bang me out. I said this to her. She said, you just want to have sex with me. I said to her, I don't just want to have sex with you, but this is what a man and a woman do. You know, she called me back the next week and said, I want to come over. She wanted to fuck because now she thought about it and she said, you know, he's right. What else do you do with him? I don't really know. You walk around a mall, you go shopping, you go into deep debt on a fucking 72, 82 month car payment. You got a $600,000, $700,000 house with payments that are $4,000 or $5,000. How the fuck is that living? I bypass all that shit, man. The dick goes in. Your correspondent's there with his fucking fleshy fucking syringe, and I'm injecting her with my two-part epoxy, my white hope. It's going in her fucking cunt. I better watch that. I'm starting to pop a boner, and I just started this recording. I don't even know how many minutes. I don't keep any kind of clock in here. I just done it so long. I know right when to stop. I hear something in my head like a bell. Like one time I had a dream and I saw a big goddamn number flashing. Isn't that weird? So a big number. I did something with a number and it worked out. Same thing here. Same kind of thing. So I'm in there working all this stuff. I'm taking all notes. The phone rings up again. It stopped and rang again and it's ringing again. So I run to the house to answer the phone. It's big damn bell. I don't live near anybody. But I once had a bitch come over her, flapping her goddamn trap, flapping her fucking gums, and she said, could you turn your phone down? Could you turn it down? She said, it's bothering me. The bitch doesn't work. She doesn't work. She's watching TV all day. I don't know what she does, but she's there to hear the bell in my house. And I think what really goes on is this. Honest to God, she came over complaining, squealed in my fucking yard. It's all rocks and shit. Must have slid 10, 12 feet when she hit the brakes. She was so pissed from the ringing bell. What's really going on is, she's having a Pavlovian reaction. Pavlov's dog, she's having that kind of reaction. Whenever she hears the bell at my house, the telephone go off, the external telephone bell ringer, she starts to get wet. Her pussy starts throbbing. Her pussy starts unfurling. The pussy's like 9, 10, 12 inches deep when it's completely unfurled. Her cunt is dripping wet and flapping and swollen with fucking blood. Her asshole's taking all those drippings and going to her asshole, and her juices coming from her cunt are actually going around her asshole rim and sort of giving her a rim job. She's royally turned on. Her tits are engorged with fucking blood. Her nipples are rock hard, and she starts thinking about who? She starts thinking about your correspondent, Norm Augustinus, and she wants to get it on, and it doesn't happen. I'm not going to connect with somebody like that unless she was fucking drunk, unless she was fucking somehow got in a car accident and she wasn't 100% right, and that area in her brain died. I might take her on then, but I think her anger is misplaced. I think it's misdirected. I don't think she understands what she's really feeling when she hears that Pavlovian dog, that Pavlovian like bell go off that used to make dogs salivate and made them, they got hungry and shit. It could reward them.
And she hears that. I think she's not getting rewarded in her cunt. It's dripping wet, man. I mean, it's soaked down to her knees. I used to date a chick a long time ago. She was so turned on to me that by the time I was able to work her meat over, to rototill that fucking hungry cunt, by the time I was able to do that, that shit all coming out of her cunt went down to her knees. The other leg was fucking partially to her calf. It was so goddamn wet. She was so soaking wet, man. And she said this to me. I'm so thirsty, Norman. Of course you're thirsty. Your heart's beating 200 over 200, man. Your cunt's putting on all kinds of liquid. And all it wants is fucking some kind of water to hydrate you to get it through to get to that dick. That's what she did. She came over. She's come over more than once. Your bill's really disturbing me. Your bill's really disturbing your next time, and I've made my mind up. She comes flying over with her gums flapping about the bill. I'm just going to walk out the house or come running up to the fucking wherever she's parked there in the gravel driveway. And she comes running up. I'm just going to come walking up to her casually with my goddamn meat out. And I'm going to be smoking a fucking tube with pinconing paralyzer in it and wrapped in zigzag papers. And I'm going to say, yeah, is that really the issue? And what do you think's going to happen? She's going to be what? She's going to be yanking and cranking your, I was going to say, your correspondence chick, man. That's what she's going to be doing. She ain't going to come up on her car anymore. Every chick that sees me, because I'm so knowledgeable about sex, so knowledgeable about pleasing them, they want me. I don't give a fuck if your sister, she thinks she wants me. And I would bang your sister out while you watched. I'm not lying to you. That's the kind of person I would be. I mean, what am I doing wrong? You're supposed to fuck, ain't you? So, the phone rings. The bell's going off. I'm running back to the thing to get the phone, and I answer the phone. I should have got to this sooner. When I answer the phone, the woman on the phone says this. It's a female's voice. She said, Norm, this is not an exaggeration. I should have recorded it. I wish it was way better than how I'm going to deliver it now. This is not an exaggeration. I'm not lying to you now. I'm not going to make anything up to you. And I said, what? What the fuck are you talking about? Who's coming? Six cars? Six cars with fucking all kinds of fucking automatic weapons? Military style fucking machine? Who's coming to my house now? Just get to it. This is what I thought. And I cut her off of that. She says, no, it's nothing like that. I said, what is it? What's not an exaggeration? What are you talking about? She said, I was just in the woods. This is no lie. You know that I go out there on my Honda 70. She's got a Honda 70. I don't know what it is. A Honda 70 is like a bigger than a mini bike. It was made sometime in the 1970s. It's kind of a screwy thing, a unibody stamped out thing with two wheels. It's a Honda 70. That's what they call it. I had to work on it once or twice for her. She said, I was just out on my Honda 70 and I saw something that didn't make sense. I saw something, and I immediately thought of you. Now, this is a chick probably wanting to get close to me. They always do shit like this. I've had it all the time. I get lots of email from chicks trying to get close to me, even from so-called celebrities, and I've had this a few years ago. One wanted to bang your correspondent out. It's not a joke. She said, I had to go back to what I passed, and then I thought of you immediately. Back to what I passed. She said, I got off. I walked over to it. I saw it. I looked at it, I examined it, I never touched it. I thought of you, she said, and I immediately got back on my Honda 70. Now, she likes a Honda 70. It's got this funky kind of seat on it, and all it is bumps all over. She's extremely orgasmic. Chicks like bumps. I don't know why they tried to make the rides better. When they tried to make cars better, rideless and vibrating seats and fucking electric cars and all kinds of shit like that, they really killed it in a lot of ways for a lot of men, because now she's in there and she's not getting turned on. So they had to sublimate that. They have to change that. Like if you went to a Muskmobile, it's got massaging seats. Now they used to come all the time in the standard seats, but now they got to put the vibration back in because they ride so good. It made no sense. If I was a dude in engineering, I'd say, I don't want her in the car using our vibrating seats. I don't want anything. I don't want this smooth ride. I want her to be super horny, man. So she said she had to look at it. Look at it. She went back to it, examined it, tried to somehow authenticate it in her woman mind. And I said, well, what is it? What'd you see in a fucking tree, man? You're driving me nuts. I said, I just ran from the ice fishing shanty that I'm putting a new ventilation system in. I just ran from it with my 15.5 pounds of meat. I didn't have my usual cup in. And because I didn't have my cup in, I had to run here practically to get that goddamn phone. And my dick, where it goes into the socket's really hurting because it's 15.5 pounds of meat. I don't know why it's so big. My mom used to call it a dinky. I don't know why. Why or how could you call a 15.5-pound dick a dinky? She's dead now. A 15.5-pound dinky? It should have been something more like the names I give my dick. My Abraham Lincoln log splitter. Like that fucker was 6'4" and he could crack, 6-foot in diameter log in half in 5 pieces in about 2 hits. That's how good he was. That's how powerful Abraham Lincoln was. It's true. It's noted. It's documented everywhere. That's what my cock is like. I've split more women open than you can ever imagine. I've had 2 near similar lawsuits, complaints, because I split them open so bad that they said they had to limp at work. And they said, quote, what was the line in the lawsuit? Suspiciously sexual walk I had to do at work. Suspiciously sexual? People suspected it was something to do sexually, and it was in the documents. I didn't have to do that. They thought it was ridiculous. But I've split them open so bad, they're seam, and I look at it like that. I think, there's a seam, crack it. Look at that seam, crack it. Here's a seam, crack it. Crack it, and I can hear her whip like a whip sound in my head, like, here's a seam, crack it. Whoosh. I cracked it. I cracked it open. I split it. When I'm done fucking, if I ever fucked your sister, and when I was done fucking, you would goddamn what? You'd hear it. You'd hear it in her voice. You'd see her limping like that, wouldn't you? What's going on? What happened to her? She'd be limping. She'd be kind of one eye back and shit. She took such an impact from your correspondence, me. So I say to her again, what are we talking about here? What is it?
Shut the fuck up!
What are you talking about? What is it? What was in the tree? What'd you see while you're on your Honda 70 driving around getting orgasm after orgasm? She goes out there and she looks for morel mushrooms. They're like extremely rare, extremely expensive. You can't find them anywhere, and they're tall. They got a big tall top on it with lots of wrinkles, like a pussy, like the way a pussy's all grinded up and meaty like. It's like that at the top of a morel mushroom, and she's out there looking for morel mushrooms, and I say to her, what is it? She said, Norm, you know that thing you've been looking for that you've told me on and off that you wanted to find, that you know exists, that they say doesn't exist anywhere because of the amount of time that has passed? I said, what are you talking about? You mean an Indian arrow? Are you talking about an Indian arrow? Now, an Indian arrow, there is no Indian arrow anymore. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, Indians used arrows. And those arrows, they say, you can't find anywhere because time has made them extinct. Everything's rotted out. They're not intact anymore. They're nowhere. But I know better. I know that somewhere in the woods, 16 million acres of woods in Michigan, even not including the Upper Peninsula, that's how many trees are here, how long it's been here, completely populated with various tribes of Indians, I know for a fact that there's an Indian arrow from 200, 300, 400 years ago sticking in some tree. Here's what scientists will tell you. They'll say this. The wood can't withstand 400, 500 years, 300 years, even 100 years. The wood of the arrow, the actual arrow itself, can't withstand, can't last through the fucking rotting process. Rain, sun, sleet, snow, freezing, expansion, contraction. They can't last. And I know better. She says, Norm, it's an Indian arrowhead. I'm almost sure. She said, remember when you were over and you were playing with my pussy? You were talking about your clitty litter and I kind of got offended. You said, your clitty litter. I said to her, her clitty litter was getting on the linoleum floor. She was on the floor. I was showing her pictures. She was in her panties. And she said, I said that her clitty litter was leaking out of her panties and going onto the floor. Clitty litter's like a derogatory term, like whatever waste products, whatever oil, whatever juices, whatever perspiration is coming out of her fuckhole, it's coming out and going all over wherever. I call it clitty litter. So the clitty litter was going everywhere. She said, remember that? You were telling me about the clitty litter going everywhere. And I said, yeah, what about it? She said, while I was looking through your books of Indian arrowheads, ancient Indian arrowheads and arrows, she said, I saw what I saw in that tree. I don't know what page it was, 68 or something like that. Ancient Indian foliage and arrows, what they showed how they make them. Now, they talked about how they made them, the Indian arrowheads and all that, what they were made of. They were made of some kind of wood. What was the wood it was called? I think it was dogwood. They used dogwood for the fletching on the arrow. They would use feathers, 3 feathers for the fletching. That's where the arrows are. They used quartzite, I think, on the Indian arrowheads, and they used dogwood. She said, it looked like that one you showed me on that page while you kind of insulted me about my clitty litter going all over the place. And why was it going all over the place? Because her pussy smelled cock. Her pussy detected cock. The clit has a twofold function. The clit is at the top of the pussy, like a periscope in a submarine. When you raise the periscope in a submarine and it comes out of water, you can see people floating on top of the water. It helps you. The person is commanding the submarine. It's just like that with a woman's clit. It can see above the cunt hole, and it can see if there's any dick in the area. It's the cunt periscope. Everyone knows that. The cunt periscope. That's what the clit is. And she said that, yeah, the clitty litter and all that. And she said, I saw the fucking arrowhead and the clitty litter and all that. And she was super excited. And she was driving around looking for fucking morel mushrooms and coming on her Honda 70. But she was nice enough to call me. I said, is this bullshit? Is it bullshit? Is it a real old arrow? Is it a plastic arrow? Is it aeroplastic? Is it fiberglass? Is it got a fucking razor blade arrowhead to it? Is it fake feathers? Is the feather fletching all fake and all that? Has it got a glossy surface on it? She said, no, nothing like that. She said, in fact, the wood looked like it was like a rock. She said, like pebbles. It had the same kind of surface. I said, the wood of the arrow looked like rock. Now, that rang a bell in my head. Because why? Because the dogwood would fossilize after 200 or 300 years. I said, it looked like that, huh? And I said, the fletching in the back where they would put fucking all kinds of stuff, feathers and other things. The fletching in the back, did it look like it was glued on? Was it glued on fletching in the back, the three quills back there that helped guide the arrow go straight, keep it straight and accurate? Is it back there? Does it look like real feathers? She said, Norm, it looked just like a sparrow feathers. Sparrow feathers, and she said it looked ancient. There was some mud on it, some other stuff, she said, markings. I said, so real feathers, real feather fletching, and the wood looked like it was like a rock, like the surface of a rock. She said, yeah, look like a fucking rock. I said, are you kidding me? And I said, what about the arrowhead? Is it fully pushed into the tree? She said, I can see the back of the arrowhead. I can see that sticking out of the bark. And she said, the bark has kind of expanded, kind of swollen over the arrowhead itself. Now, trees do that. This was all making sense to me. This was all becoming a real possibility. At first, I thought she was just calling me to fuck her because people want to fuck your correspondent. I'm fucking all the time. If I'm not fucking all the time, I got my cock ring on and I'm looking at 60s porn and I'm fucking tooting coke or I'm doing fucking all kinds of shit. So when she said this, I was super excited. Trees will do that. They'll expand over a wound. They'll grow bark over a wound. If they've had bark knocked off it, they'll regrow the bark in that area. So that means that this thing actually penetrated a tree and something tried to grow over the penetration. And she said it was a big area grown over the penetration. Now, that could be a long time ago. All this stuff was super exciting. And I thought, man, fuck this fucking ice fishing shanty. I can do the ventilation later because we're not ready to fuck in there now anyways. It's not frozen ice on there. I can do the ventilation. I can repost some more fucking all kinds of 60s porn pictures, 8x10s, black and white. The greatest shit you've ever seen. Why? Because you know in their minds when you're looking at it, while you got your meat in your hand, while you're beating your meat, while you're pumping off, you know that the things in her mind are the things you wish were in her mind that aren't in the mind of a female today. So she looks one way, but she's got this fucking figured brain inside of her. Her brain fucking, what do they call it, brain pan? Her brain pan cavity, her vault in there. You know it's not really what you want. So I said to her, are you on your Honda 70 now? She said, yeah, I got the Honda 70. Not on it now. She said, I got the Honda 70 with me now. She said, I do have the phone with me right now. I could take a picture of it and send it to you. And I said, yeah, let's do that. Don't hang up. She said, I'll take a picture. She said, I'll take a picture. So she takes a picture and she sends me the picture back. Now, my 15.5-pound dick is starting to get engorged in blood. I'm getting excited because I've always dreamed of finding a genuine arrow from a fucking hundreds of years ago, from early settlers in Michigan, hundreds of, if not 500, 1,000 years ago, early settlers in Michigan, I've dreamed of finding an arrow fully intact. And everyone says, that's not possible. That's stupid. Why waste your time on that? It's dumb. You can get a job 8 to 10 at a factory down there, and sometimes they pay you time and a half. Yeah, okay, I got all that. I understand all that. When she sends me the picture back, I'm not kidding you. It looks like a genuine arrow, complete arrow, intact, shot by an Indian. Now, you know what that means. That means the Indian's long gone. He's completely gone. He's just dust. He's just ashes. The guy that shot that at whatever he was shooting it at, a moose or something like that, the guy that shot it is now long dead. You got that history. You got his hopes, dreams, desires, his needs of that day, his family, his tribe were in that arrow. Everything that he needed that day were trapped, encapsulated in that arrow, and landed in that tree. Now, the tree was much smaller. Tree was much smaller, wasn't it? And there it is. It looks like an ancient Indian arrow, fully intact. Now, if it's true, it would have a quartzite Indian head arrowhead. Quartzite's a stone of some type. It had dogwood, made of dogwood. Now, they used other materials, but dogwood is plentiful throughout the woods of Michigan. It had this feather, actual feather fletching in the back. There's no glue. It's just windings and things wrapped around to hold things together. It would have all that. When I'm looking at the picture, it has all that. It's got it all and more. It's in the tree, still intact. In my mind, I'm saying this. My God, that's priceless. Oh, my God. There's no value you could put on it. They'd try to take it away from me right away. They'd have tents set up here. They'd have all kinds of fucking yellow tape everywhere saying, keep out. There'd be police there. There'd be the game wardens there. They wouldn't let you get near this arrow because it would have such historical value that they'd want to put it in a museum straight away. And what would your correspondent get? I'd get nothing. I'd be back on my goddamn ATV, my Argo Frontier, 18 horsepower, six-wheel drive machine. I'd be back on that, the fiberglass upper area and fiberglass 18 horsepower engine. I'd be back driving around that in the woods of Michigan with my Superman cape out, smoking reefer with my Luger and my fucking, my Glock with a fucking, my Glock kit, the Glock switch they call it, 1,200 rounds a goddamn minute. I'd just be driving around. But this would mean my ship would come in. I finally made it. My ship came in. I don't have to do shit like this anymore. I just get pussy, truckloads and truckloads of pussy, day in and day out till the day I fucking die because I found this real arrowhead. And I'm already seeing this shit. I'm seeing the money. I'm seeing the people coming. I'm seeing the cameraman, photographers. I'm on the cover of the National Geographic if they even still have it. I'm on that cover there and I'm smiling and shit. So I say to her, yeah, can you come back here? Could you come back here? We'll get on your thing, your motorcycle, your Honda 70. Yeah, I could get on that or I could get on the Argo Frontier and we can go deck and show me where it is. Could you do that? She said, yeah, of course I can do that, Norm. And while she's talking, I hear the Honda 70 start up. Now, the Honda 70, I don't believe had an electric start. You had to push a foot thing down to start the Honda 70. And I heard her push that thing down. Now, hearing her push that thing down, it's kind of giving me a semi-rock-hard boner right now. Because when she pushed the foot pedal down on the Honda 70, I heard her kind of go, mm. And I know that I've heard that sound many times. Ah, it was like that. It's like a chicken pre-orgasm. It's like she's coming again and again. I heard that noise when I heard her do the starting thing, and it sort of distracted me from the arrow completely. I just heard, ah. And then I heard her take off and the phone hang up. Now, I knew she was coming my way. She used that thing. She said, she's fucking coming on bumps and shit. The Honda 70 had the worst suspension in the world. It had two springs on the back, this big seat like a bench seat. And I thought, wow, man, she's going to be turned on because she's always liked me. I told you she was at my house looking for the arrow books and all that. She's clitty litter going all over the floor. The stuff that comes out of a woman's cunt. She's always been turned on to me. And now I'm sort of turned on to her because I feel she's helped me find something that's very valuable to me. She stumbled across something that could be literally priceless in value. So I'm thinking about her, man. I'm thinking about her in a girl way. And I'm actually in this room right now as I do this. I'm in the basement. I'm doing this in a cedar on the walls and they're tongue and groove. As I'm sitting here doing this recording, I see what looks like a big titted woman and her tits are out and her legs are spread somehow in the knotted area, the knotted lines and the veins and the grain of the wood. I'm actually seeing that now, which means I'm getting super horny. And I have to be careful because this ain't a show for fucking fruits, man. This ain't a fruity show. This is stuff for men and stuff like you and I. Every day out there in the beat, every day trying to make a goddamn dime, every day trying to not get killed in your car when you're not going 75 miles an hour, every day not wanting some black person beat the back of your fucking head, some goddamn Iraqi coming at you, some Iranian coming at you. Every fucking day this struggle goes on. But I'm now seeing a chick with big bulbous tits in the cedar wood, the tongue and groove on the wall, and I'm thinking, and she's on her way now, and I've got a photograph of this thing, and she's on her way, and we may probably be ending up fucking, because that's what men and women do. They fuck. I mean, what else is there? Skeleton in there and shit. What good's a skeleton if the skeleton dried out and you put it all together and you hung it from your front porch? You got a wind chime. Big fucking deal. I can buy a wind chime at Kmart or Walmart, wherever the last Kmart is. I can go there and buy a wind chime for $1.99. But an orgasm lasts a lifetime, especially if it's attached to the right fucking chick, doesn't it? You can always pull it back. Some old engram. Wow, I really banged around. Wow, I remember that orgasm. Wow, I remember this. I remember that. My sphincter and shit did all kinds of movements and closed up for a while. And I remember all these memories that are attached to it. So I'm waiting for her to come back. And I'm pacing the floor, waiting for the comeback because I want to see the arrowhead. The arrow, not the head only. The entire arrow. It has an arrowhead on it, made of quartzite. I want to see the entire arrow, and I'll decide if it's a real fucking thing. I'll decide it. I'll decide how I'll put out press releases. I'll decide who I call. I'll decide what papers, what publications, what online publications I'll send this to. I'll try to get verification from some officials to see it. But I secretly know that all that'll be taken away from me if it's the real thing. I secretly know that, and I start thinking fucking Claymore mines. I start thinking fucking Glocks and all kinds of things. You can adjust a Glock and Glocks. I switch. I'm start thinking about all this stuff and all the weapons I got, all the ammunition I got, all the tripwires I got, and I think it's mine if I found it. I'm already this far, and I'm also turned on. So the blood is pumping, the sexual shit's going, the heart is going, my eyes are dilated, my subconscious mind in the sex module in my brain, and I'm also partially in the conscious mind thinking about the arrow. Once she finally shows up on the Honda 70, man, when she pulls up on the Honda 70, I hear it. When she gets off the Honda 70, she's just in her panties. Now, you can do that here, because I'm on thousands of acres of national or state forests that are completely protected. She's in her panties, man, and she got off the thing, and her tits are big and bulgy and jumping, a Honda 70, and fucking, oh, man, it's incredible, Honda 70. I start thinking of chinks and how little they are, and they got little pussies, and I start thinking, man, they'll take anything, Honda 70 and chinks and japs, whatever makes a Honda 70, and I start getting super horned out again. See, that's what happens when you come in contact with the possibility of big money. You start turning on other areas of your mind, because those areas really weren't much accessible, or they were rusty or nearly closed or old or off the beaten path, and you didn't really have an access to them. But now, with the idea of all the money I'm going to be making, I fucking start thinking all this shit, the Honda 70. And I think, I wonder if they had any, while she's in her panties, I wonder if they had any chicks that were looking really good-looking, chink chicks, jap chicks, working on these things with their power tools and shit, and the tools laying against her cunt, and they're vibrating her chink cunt, their jap cunt, and they fucking putting the wheels on and stuff, the mufflers in her hand, looks like a big cock in her hand, they're putting a muffler on. I'm thinking all this stuff. She comes running up to me with boots that look ridiculous. The boots, I guess, are cowboy boots. Maybe they're popular now. I don't really know. Cowboy boots, leather. They go up about a foot up your ankle, and there's designs on the side of it, and they look like leather, but they're probably plastic now. She comes running up to me, and as she comes running up to me, it's always the same. She's excited. She's turned on. She always is like me. What do you think's happened with all these juices? I can smell pussy as she runs up to me, but I can avoid it. I can ignore it because I want to see the picture. And I said, let me see the picture again. She gives me the picture, and I want to see if there's any degradation in the fucking picture quality, if there's anything she had different on her picture and all that. And she shows me the picture, and it's the same exact picture. It looks like all the stuff that I require. The quartzite Indian head arrowhead, the dogwood it was made of, the feather fletching in the back, the no glue, the no coatings, the no paints, just wrappings to hold this thing all together. And I see the wound around the quartzite Indian arrowhead that went into the tree that some Indian shot, I don't know, 500, 700 years ago, 300 years ago. There it is. And that's exciting. You see, that's the fast track to success. That's the fast track. Automatic success, just like that, like you've hit a button on your dash and you're there. You've met it there. You're where you wanted to always be. There I am, right there. So because she ran towards me and I smelled pussy and she did me such a damn favor, I got back on the motorcycle. And as we're on the motorcycle, I start popping extreme, what they call it, extreme boner. I've popped a rod, man. I mean, you know what popping a rod is. I've popped a rod on the back of the Honda 70. I'm holding the picture. I'm looking at the fucking thing while she's driving. She's got her panties on and her boots on and some low-cut t-shirt. A lot of people up here can get away with that because nobody ever sees them. And I saw it. Now, can you imagine? Just imagine this. In the shithole area you live in, you don't see no chicks like that. There's no chick walking around her panties with a cowboy boot on. You got a fucking Iraqi next to you right now doing a goddamn, she's a Muslim, she's doing a prayer and all that stuff, and she's fucking bowing to goddamn Allah and her friend, the other guy, Muhammad, and they're bowing to that, and that's all goddamn day. It's all you hear. It's behind you, it's in the behind you, it's next you, it's across the street over there, and you don't have that. You got the Chaldeans, you got Mexicans over there that hate your goddamn guts. You got black women with intelligent-looking glasses on who can annihilate you instantly looking at you as a white person because you're white, and they automatically think you feel like you're stupid, and that's what you live by. What can you fuck in that area? Who could fuck anything in that area? It's so tense, it's so pressure cooked, and a bunch of shit around you that nobody does. You know, Muslims and shit, they don't fucking think like you and I do. They think differently. When I cram them and shit, hold her hair, they don't do any of that shit. So, we're on the back of the Honda 70. And she's going around on a Honda 70, I'm thinking all the shit I just told you. And I pop such a big rod that my meat come out the side of my Fruit of Loom underpants. And when it come on the Fruit of Loom underpants, there was nothing I can do. I had to cram her from the rear. And you know, this is what a woman will do. You think this is a joke? It's not. The minute she felt my hot dickhead, my steaming hot poker, my white hot cockhead, the minute she felt that hit her upper thigh near her, where her seam was, her split, her ass crack, she right away lifted up on the motorcycle, man. She lifted up on the motorcycle like she was going to jump fucking over 10 cars and she was in Vegas like Evel Knievel. She just stood up on a peg, she lifted her ass up, and I crammed my cock all 15.5 pound inches. I don't even want to talk about what it looks like when it's filled with blood. It wouldn't be this kind of family thing here, whatever it is, this friend thing. It would now turn into some kind of X-rated triple porn, and I can't do that. Got too many people listening. But I did fill her up. She lowered her box, her whole area. I can't tell you which one it was. It may have went into her asshole. It may have went into her cunt. I don't really know. Who cares at that point? How many people have fucked somebody from the rear on a Honda 70 that's wearing panties and cowboy boots who just took a picture of a fucking Indian arrow that completely intact that could be priceless? We were celebrating, man. She was rewarding me with that. Glitty litter, whatever you want to call it, all over my cock, the sauces, the juices, the crunching, the throbbing. Most chicks will try to clamp down in your cock to get something ugly like you off of them. They clamp down on their fucking pussy walls, their sugar walls, to make you come quicker so they can get you off them as fast as possible. I know that trick. When chicks fuck me, they don't try that. They just want my cock simmering and sautéing inside their cunt with all those juices and that 100-degree heat, and it just cooks my fucking dick up, man. And I just crammed her away. I crammed her and crammed her and crammed her. At some point, I lost my mind because I had never fucked anybody like this. I was holding on to the upper portion of her thighs around her waist. I just kept cramming and cramming and cramming until she came and went over the fucking handlebars. It's not a joke, man. This is a true shit and stuff. I tell you the truth. She went over the goddamn handlebars, and when she did, I saw her ass pull off my cock, and I was actually startled by the length of my hard boner. It was big and shiny and long, and I thought, what am I? What the fuck am I? I'm not even, this isn't even fucking human. Luckily, I grabbed a hold of handlebars right away because I have experience like crazy of all kinds of ATVs. I'm a certified licensed pilot in different kinds of aircraft. I got all the skills, and I grabbed the handlebars, but when she went off, I think I heard a pussy fart too. It was the air I pumped into her cunt. We were celebrating, man. A mini celebration as we drove to the fucking place. As we drove to the fucking, our treasure, man. Our gold. What do they call it? Pay dirt? As we drove to pay dirt, man. When I bent back to her, she was still writhing in orgasm. Honest to God. Her legs were pulled back with her cowboy boots on, and her panties, I'm not even sure, were off because the whole crotch area was torn out. I may have just jammed and hammered, jammed and fucking pummeled. I may have done that. She's still writhing in the afterglow of orgasm. I'm thinking, man, this is a life. This is pleasure. This is living with ease. This is what everybody dreams of. And when she comes to, when she comes back, when she regains consciousness, when her cunt closes and it dries up, we're driving to the Indian Arrow. We're driving there. Man, two for one, like fucking double mint commercial. Double the pleasure, double the fun. It's like that. The Arrow and the pussy. The Arrow and the pussy, man. That's what it's all about. And success, big success, is coming the fuck my way. And I know it as I'm looking at her writhing about. By the way, you know, chicks' cunts are huge. If you ask Google, it'll say it's 2 to 3 inches. I'm not kidding you. Ask Google, if you got Google Voice at home, how deep a woman's pussy is. You got to say it in the way she accepts it. She'll tell you 2 to 3 inches. And I want you to know how big it is, how meaty it is, how built it is, how iron walls, like iron sides, it really is. I'll try to remember the ending. I try to remember to tell you what went on next. It's exciting. But if I don't remember, blame it on drugs, blame it on dope, blame it on booze, I don't really know. Motherfucker.
You've been listening to the one and only
Augustinus!
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder. Eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower. 100, 150 feet tall. Brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down. We pop the corks in your toes. And all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange-colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange-colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a $1 million house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best-looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best-looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, We were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Alicia, the other day I was mowing a large, empty, overgrown field. As you may or may not know, I cut lawns as a side job. While I was mowing the lawn, I stumbled onto what looked like a deflated rubber balloon. Of course, I shut off the mower to investigate. The balloon was connected to something. I thought that perhaps it was connected to a message. When I was a kid, I would send up balloons with my address on them. I asked whoever found the balloon to mail it back to me if they found the balloon and tell me where they found it. Alicia, bad news. There wasn't a message connected to the balloon. Instead, someone had tied a string around the waistband of a pair of women's old soiled cum panties. They smelled like pussy. There were lots of irregular circular stains on them, and the cotton ventilated panel looked like someone had held the end of a shotgun barrel at the cotton ventilated panel and pulled the trigger. I guess at some point, a big dick was plunged through the crotch of the panty, likely when a woman was wearing them. Shotgun blasts and dick holes to the crotches of panties look almost exactly the same. Also, there was bird shit all over the panties. I think when the balloon was high up in the sky, birds landed on the cum panty for a rest, and they shit on them while they were resting. Alicia, what kind of person would tie a pair of smelly women's cum panties to a helium balloon and let them go? I wonder if a passenger in a commercial airplane saw the cum panty hanging from the helium balloon on a string as the airliner flew past the panty. Also, why did I find them? I gotta go. I've got things to do. Write me back when you can. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister. She was selling corn cobs that had to be shucked while she stood in front of the fruit market on Main Street in downtown Rochester. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she jumped into the huge 35-foot-long display corn that had been installed in front of the fruit market. While your big-titted little sister was inside the giant fiberglass display corn, she took off her shirt, brassiere, pants, and panties, and she lied down on her back inside the jumbo promotional attention-getting corn, and she pulled her kneecaps back to her ears. When I wiggled my way into the corn, your big-titted little sister was aiming her enormous stretched-out cunt and oversized, very brown asshole directly at me. So I ate out your big-titted little sister, and I gave her a rim job. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister, a woman walking on the sidewalk past the fruit market stopped and knocked on the side of the jumbo promotional fiberglass corn, and she said,
"Hello in there. I saw the both of you climb into the corn. I can smell pussy. I just want to be eaten out and rimmed just like the girl you've got in there with you right now. Let me in there and there'll be no trouble. Eat me and rim me and I'll be on my way. Now let me the fuck in!"
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Girls, I've got big news. Recently, over 10,000 helium balloons were found floating around in the jet stream over the United States. Attached to these helium balloons were extremely soiled pairs of women's cum panties. The crotches were blown clean out, and every damn pair of them stink of pussy. Each of these cum panties were attached to these helium balloons by a single 5.5-foot-long string. These balloons were 8 miles up, hovering around in a jet stream. It took some doing, but I was able to hire a high-altitude ex-Vietnam helicopter pilot, and he was able to round up these balloons using nets. And now I have them in this store for sale right now. There are questions, many, many questions. How did the cum panties get stuck in the jet stream? Who attached the panties to the balloons? Who inflated the balloons with the helium? Why are the panties caked in cum? What kind of string was used? When were the cum panties released? 50, 100, 200 years ago? Nobody knows! It's a mystery! Ladies, this rare item is a true conversational piece. The holidays are coming! Get one of these conversation starters now! Let it float freely about inside your financed home! Or and amaze your friends. Only $159 and it comes complete with balloon, string, and putrid single cum panty. Marvel at the sick hole that has been violently augured into the crotches of these sexed up panties. Come up to the counter and get this unique item now. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit onto the transparent floor of our store elevator. As you may or may not know, our store elevator has a clear, see-through floor that allows our shoppers to see the elevator shaft below them and all of its mechanical workings. It's the only one of its kind in the United States. Miss Phelps was standing in the elevator watching the elevator repairman as he hung upside down. While the repairman hung upside down, his shirt slid off and his large cock slid past his belt, and it hung down the length of the repairman's stomach to his neck. At that point, Mandy's anus gave way and her shit gushed out of her large colon and onto the transparent elevator floor. Mandy Phelps has irritable bowel syndrome, and she doesn't wear panties.
I had to have a toilet pipe that is 10 times bigger than a normal toilet pipe connected to the crapper at my house. A plumber also installed a sewage pipe into my driver's side car seat. While I'm driving, I can shit, and my shit gets automatically pumped into a septic tank that has been bolted into my car trunk. I shit so hard, my shit gets pumped through the micro pores in the fabric of my panties, and it comes out like strands of fresh spaghetti, very much like a Play-Doh spaghetti making machine. I can't stop shitting. Someone in the store come up to the counter right now and cure my shitting problem, or I'll gun down every one of you bastards.
In addition to her irritable bowel syndrome, my assistant is extremely horny. When Mandy saw the elevator repairman's cock, it likely triggered her irritable bowel syndrome.
I need a 12-inch long jism-filled vanicunt trencher to survey the width and depth of my box right now. If I don't get 12 to 14 inches of cream-filled rock-hard meat, I'll squirt two fistfuls of Ambisol tooth-numbing cream into my stretched-out cunt, and in that way I can't feel that there's no meat in my pussy. If the walls of my vaginal tract flatten because there's not a cock in there, I'll go into cardiac arrest. I can't let the walls of my vaginal tract collapse. I'm gonna fuck the crazy bread that is in the little Caesar's box in the break room. Help me! I need a big meaty dick now. Insert your Model D crank handle into my bubbling gash and wind me up, boys!
Is there anyone in the store that can help my assistant wipe down the see-through elevator floor? This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Ah!
Fuck!
Ah!
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.